Well, good morning. I have to admit, I'm a little bit nervous for this morning's message, because it's almost a continuation of last Sunday. And I used an illustration last Sunday that I thought went very well, and my wife was okay with it afterwards. But at 4 in the morning, I woke up to her punching me that next night. And then I hear, "Sorry." So maybe I subconsciously crossed the line last week. I don't really know. So I'm going to take a little bit different approach to my illustrations this week. But nonetheless, it kind of continues with last week we talked about suffering and how would anybody get through this world without the hope and the putting our hope in God and His glory, and we'll get to see His full glory someday in heaven. And today, as we look at Romans 8:28 through 37, it continues this, but it has a little bit different twist on it, and it almost the same thing as God's glory, but it's looking at God's love now, as I read through, is what I want to take out of today's scripture as we look through it. And there's three main points today that we're going to walk through a little bit. And the first point is that God, if we're His chosen ones, if we've put our faith in Him, that God will work good through anything we face. And I do believe, and there's other scriptures that reference this too, that God will bring good in anything, any trial, anything we go through. The second point we're going to talk about today is that God has nothing more to give us. And I hope that raises an eyebrow or two, but I said that right. God has nothing more to give us. And the third thing we're going to look at, and this one should make us smile, is that we cannot be separated from God's love. No matter what, we can't be separated from it. So Romans 8, 28 through 30. If you want to turn with me, you can. I'm going to read from the NIV. Verse 28. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He has predestined, He has also called. Those He has called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified." God brings good out of everything. And I know I'm putting a little bit different spin on that, but everything, all our trials in life, all our struggles, our persecutions, anything that we go through, natural disasters, man-made disasters. We've seen them all happen in this country. We've seen them all, from the Twin Towers coming down, to plane crashes, to Hurricane Katrina. We've seen all these things. And they're not good. They're not easy to get through. They're not easy to go through, or even watch other people if we're lucky enough to be removed from them. But I guarantee, in all those situations, that God has worked good in them. You know, I mentioned the Twin Towers, and that was many years ago. And I read a book, it wasn't too long after that, probably about 8 years ago, I read a book. And it was by a chaplain that was there in the aftermath of the Twin Towers. And he just gives story after story after story of how God was present and working miracles, even in all the rubble that was there. And I do firmly believe that God does work in every horrible situation. And that's probably the only way we can get through this world. And we will never fully understand this. I don't think I ever will fully understand or grasp why or how God works in every situation. But nonetheless, we need to rest on the fact that He does work good in all situations. And it brings me back to the little illustration I used last Sunday about the prodigal son. And when the father watched his son leave, I guarantee he was suffering. I guarantee he struggled with it because he didn't know what the future would hold. He didn't know if he'd ever see his son return. Had no clue. No clue at all. And he was suffering. He couldn't see while it was going on. The big picture. He couldn't see how God was going to bring it back. But in that horrible situation, and we get to read it now, and we get to see it, that God did bring him back, and it had all worked out. And I wonder how many lives were touched because of that. Because God did work a miracle in a horrible situation. And we can still see that today. And you know, this next one I don't like to talk about much, but through all my legal struggles I've gone through, that I've talked about before here, that God used that to sort of kick me in the pants, to get me to step out and say, yes, I will go into ministry. And it wasn't that I was afraid of ministry, I didn't want to go into ministry. You know, in my mind, I had no gifts. I couldn't stand up and preach in front of people. And I think, and I've heard it from some of you, that I think God is slowly giving me a little bit more, you know, blessing me a little bit more in this every day. But at the same time, I was going through all that, and I have no idea, or I couldn't understand why. But at the same time, I'm going through all that. And if you do the timeline, you can see, and we talked about it, heard about it a little this morning, that what you guys were going through as a congregation, and your struggles with trying to replace Jay and get Marty here. When you're going through that, you have no idea what's going on. You just know it was one struggle after another. But how I can now stand back, and I hope you guys can now stand back and see how God did work in all that to bring us together. And I know at least for me it's been a blessing. I hope for you it has as well. But when we're going through those struggles, we can't always see the big picture. We can't always see how God's working. But we need to rest on the fact that He is. That He is working. And like I said earlier, I believe that every tragedy that God is working in, and some of those, it's just to get, maybe it's just to get one person to the bottom of their barrel. And you know, I guess we've all heard that illustration that when you get to the bottom of the barrel, there's only one way to go but up. And I know that was true for me, and I guarantee it was true for every one of you. But the difference is, some of our barrels are a little deeper than others. Some of us have to go a lot lower. But when we're there, there's only one way to turn, and that's to God. And we do that, and God will allow this to happen because He loves us. But in that tragedy, or in those struggles, that we can only turn and look to God. And as we look to God, I'm gonna say my next point that we're going to, and you're going to look strange, that God has already given everything He has to give us. There's nothing left to give. And you look at me like, well, then why do we pray for blessings and all that? I'm not talking about that. But what I'm talking about is where He goes next, where Paul goes next with Romans 8, verses 31 through 34. And he's talking, of course, about those that we've been, you know, God has called us and we've been justified and He's glorified us. But Paul goes to say, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son. There's the key. There's what God gave us. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. How will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is He that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. God gave us His Son. And Paul is reminding us that there, among a bunch of other things. I think I could spend months just in these few scriptures, but I'm going to try to shorten it up to only about 15 more minutes. So, but he gave us his son. And I don't, as you think of that, especially as a father, that's a tough one. You know, we've seen Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son because God asked him to, but to give up your child, to give up your son. And the reason, I think, not the reason, I said that wrong, scratch that, but if we can think of it in human terms, think of how much you love your children, those that have children. Just think of that. Would you give up a child? God did. I mean, I would quickly give up coffee, you know, hunting, whatever it is. What do we want to give up in our lives? What can we give up? We can all give up material things. But God gave up his son. And he did that because he loves us. And I know none of us would consider giving up a loved one. Not a one. But I'll bet each and every one of us would lay down our lives for someone we love. And so I want you to think of that for a second. Think of someone that you love, that you would be willing to lay down your life for that person. I know just off the top of my head, there's 5 people in this room that I would, without any hesitation, my kids and my wife. But think about that. And then think about how much you absolutely love that person. And Jesus, God loves you so much more than that, that he gave his son for you so that you can someday be pure and holy and spend eternity in his presence. That's God's love. That is the ultimate gift. And when we receive that gift, when we accept Jesus into our heart and accept the fact that God died for us, or that Jesus died on the cross for us, that's the ultimate gift from God. There's nothing more he can give us. Nothing at all. And I want you to think about that love for a minute. You know, I remember when our children were born, and I'm just going to dance around this because I don't want hit again tonight. But I remember when our kids were born, each and every one of them. And as I held them for the first time, you just feel this amazing, different, weird sense of love that you have for this person. And you know that no matter what happens in the future, that you're always going to love that person. And you're going to remember that moment forever. And I remember when me and Deanne were first starting to date and courting, that all I wanted to do was spend time with her. And it was this weird, I don't know, crazy feeling, I guess, that every spare minute I had, that's who I wanted to spend it with. And as we've gone in our marriage, that things have changed, and I will admit that. But every day I wake up, I choose to love her. And I will never not choose to love her. God has chosen us. We're here today. We are the chosen ones that we have talked that Paul was talking about in Romans 20 chapter or verse 28 there. That we are God's chosen people, and he's chosen us for his purpose. And we need to remember how much he loves us. And never ever forget that. And that God has given us his love. And he is pure, and his love is pure. And that brings us to my third point today, that we can never be separated from God's love. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. That doesn't sound very exciting. No, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else, in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That's a lot of love. Nothing can separate us. And there was a lot in there, but we can't be separated. There's nothing on this earth that can separate us. But I hope you caught the spiritual aspect of it too, that angels nor demons, nothing can separate us from God's love. And as we read some scriptures in the Bible, as we look at some of them need a lot of interpretation. And they need a lot of explaining to do. And then some are like this scripture that's just plain and blunt, that really don't need much interpretation. Verse 38 and 39 again. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. That pretty much covers everything. Nothing can separate us from God's love. And if we put it plain and simple, we're born, we will live on this earth, and eventually we will all pass on. It's kind of a somewhat of a scary reality that we will all pass on. But what I think Paul is pointing out here, and what I'm going to end with today, is that no matter what struggles we face, no matter what trials, what natural disasters we go through in this life, that when that day comes, that we take our last breath on this earth, and we are God's chosen people, that there's nothing that can be done on this earth to separate us from that. And that when we breathe our last breath, we will see God and see His full love and just see how much He has for us. And many things on this earth can kill us and take our life. But when we die, we will be in His presence and we will see His pure and full and complete love. And that should make us smile. Let's pray. Lord God, thank You for this day and this time. And Father, I pray for each and every soul in this room, Lord. And even the extended family beyond this room, Lord. We just pray for You to open our hearts and to keep our eyes on You and just to help us to fully understand and grasp more of Your love and what it's all about, and help us to share that love with others. In Jesus' name, amen.